chapter 13. And let's read a few verses here in Matthew chapter 13. The Bible said in Matthew 13 and 36, "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out the kingdom, out his kingdom, all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun, the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to the treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." Again, here's the verses I want you to notice. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered every kind, which when it was full, they drew the net to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder which bringeth forth out of the treasure things new and old." I want to go back and just lift out here two verses, and verses 44, 45. Just two verses here, and I want you to notice them. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. He's looking for pearls. "Who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." One pearl of great price. That's what I'm going to try to preach on just a few minutes tonight. The pearl of great price. I'm glad the Lord found the pearl of great price. Looking among the pearls, he found one. And that one pearl is what he was concerned about, and sold everything that he had and bought that pearl. Now, that's a valuable thing. And I want you to notice a few things about the price that he paid. He sold everything that he had, the Bible said there in that verse. Sold all that he had. I want to look at this tonight as the merchant man, which I believe is speaking about God, and the pearl, the one pearl, the pearl of great price, I want to look at as the church tonight. And I'm glad the Lord bought the church. Yes. I'm glad he paid for it. And sold every, and what he's saying in this verse here, that the Lord, that pearl of great price, the one pearl, was of more value than anything else that he had. More value than anything else that he had. I want to tell you tonight, the church is of more value than anything else God has. He loves the church, and he proved that because of the price that was paid. He paid the price. Look what John chapter 3, verse 16 said. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Now you think about that just a moment. He gave his only begotten Son. That's something that would be more valuable to us that have one son. We would not give him for anything. But God gave everything that he had. He gave his only son. Amen. The most valuable thing that he had was his only begotten son. That we might have life and have it more abundantly. And so the pearl is of course, I believe, the body of Christ. The body of Christ, the one that we that are saved by the grace of God. He's not looking at just an individual, but he's looking at the pearl, at the pearl of great price, just one pearl. And the body of Christ is the church of the living God. I mean, we've been saved and we've been bought with a price. We've been paid for. We didn't get what we have by working for it. We didn't buy what we have. But I'm glad, thank God, that he bought us himself. He paid the price for that pearl of one pearl of great price, invaluable to him. And so we bought that pearl. And so I believe the church, of course, I believe is the body of Christ. I'm talking about the body of Christ. Every born-again believer that is saved makes up the body of Christ. And that makes up the church of the living God. Sure, we've got local assemblies that we meet together here. And we meet and we worship. That's where the Lord set it up. He set it up that way. But we make up, those that are saved by the grace of God, makes up that one church that God paid the price for. And we that are saved, I don't care at where they're from, I don't care, but if they've been born again, they're part of that church. I don't care what country they belong to. I don't care what color their skin is. If they're saved by the grace of God, they belong to the body of Christ. The Lord Jesus God bought that body and paid for that body with His only begotten Son. And so that pearl of great price and is somebody that God really loves. And I was studying about this and meditating on this. I tell you, it humbled my heart to know that what God did, that I could be a part of the church of the living God. I mean, it humbled my heart just to know that He loved me enough to give His only Son for my sins and pay for my sins on the cross of Calvary so that I could become a part of that one pearl. That pearl of great price. It's a great price that was paid. Jesus paid the price for His Father. I mean, He was willing to pay the price. He submitted Himself to the Father's will. He came to this earth from heaven. Now you think about that. There's not one person in heaven today that would come back if they could. They wouldn't want to come back. There's nothing to come back to like it's in heaven. But I'm telling you, I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. So they wouldn't want to come back. But I'm telling you, brother, Jesus came from heaven. And not only did He come from heaven, and that was something for Him to do, but I tell you what else He did. He took upon Himself the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He took upon Himself the likeness of man. He was born of a woman in this world. God, as an angel, the angel put the seed of the Lord Jesus in the womb of Mary, and He was born of Mary. And thank God, He was born that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And so Jesus came, He was willing to do that. Now that blows my mind that God would give His only Son to not only come to this world, that's another thing, but another thing that's worse than that He would become like we are. Amen. Now we may think a whole lot of ourselves, and a lot of people think a whole lot of themselves. But I'm going to tell you, brother, listen, God saw what we are. He knew exactly what we were before we got saved by the grace of God. He knew the vileness, the wickedness, and the hearts of men. He knows about all of that. And yet, in spite of all that, He let His Son take upon Himself the likeness of sinful flesh. And He did that for a purpose because, listen, God couldn't die. But the penalty for sin was death. God couldn't die. Somebody had to die for the sins of this world. Now you and I'd have to pay for that sin if Jesus didn't pay for it. If it weren't for Him, we'd all be going through the second death. We'd never have any hope. We'd be in hell forevermore. But Jesus came to pay that sin debt for us. Praise God. I'm glad there's something. He bought us. And we became a body, the pearl of great price, the body body of the church of the living God, and the body that he bought, and we belong unto the Lord today. And we belong in that one body. And he tells us this, of course, in and over in the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he tells us a little bit about that, that, you know, there's a body. Now, he said in 1 Corinthians 1, let me just read that, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and chapter 1 and verses 12 and 13. The Bible, I'm glad, thank God, there's something. Had the Lord loved us enough to give his only son for us. Amen. Chapter 12, verses 12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. I mean, we're all different part of the body. If you're saved by the grace of God, we all know this, but I like to look at it anyway. I like to break it fresh every once in a while. We all become a part of that one body. And brother, we make up the body of Christ. We've all got a part in that body of Christ. That's what he's saying here. He said, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. One body, into one body, one pearl, amen, the pearl of great price. We're all baptized into one body. We're put in that body tonight. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into that one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Amen. It's many members in that body. But we're all one body, praise God, inseparable, inseparable. And you and I will always be a part of the body of Christ, amen. Inseparable from God, inseparable from each other. We're saved by the grace of God. Praise God, we're put in that body by the Lord Jesus himself. He paid the sin debt. Now the Bible said, now look at this, for the body is not one member but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Yes, it's a part of the body. The foot, the hand, the eye, the smelling, the taste, everything's a part of the body of Christ. We're all one body, see. That's what the body of Christ is. We've all been made to drink into one body, in one spirit, in the one body. God put us that way. If the whole body was an eye, where were the hearing? And that'd be something to see, wouldn't it? If the whole body was an eye walking around. He'd be deaf, he couldn't speak, he couldn't hear. Hey, just an eye, that's all it is. And that's why, listen, he put us all together. We've got a part in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, we've been made a part. But the whole body, listen to it now, God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it had pleased him. He put us in the body where he wanted us to be in. He gave us the ability to do what we're doing, and the gifts that God gave us, the different gifts, he gave it to us to do in the body what we're supposed to be doing. The eyes got something to do. The hands got something to do. The ears got something to do. And the foot's got something. We've all been part of one body, and that's the church of the living God. Amen. We've all got a part in that body. Praise God. Now one part is more important than the other. They're all important in the body. Amen. God told us that. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Where's the hearing at? How's it going to hear anything if it's just an eye? If the whole, and there's a whole, we're hearing, where we're smelling. Now, you say that's simple. Well, it's simple, but it's what God used to show us. We're all a part of one body. Whether we like it or not, we're brothers and sisters in Jesus. Amen. Praise God. And he said, but now God set the members, God has set the members, every one of them, in the body. We're in the body tonight. We're the pearl of great price. He paid for that. Amen. Paid the sin debt. I don't have to go to hell tonight because I'm saved by the grace of God. I don't have to go to the cross tonight and shed my blood because Jesus has already shed his blood for me. And I accepted that. Praise God. If they were all one member, where were the body? But now there are many members, but yet one body. Just one body. The saved, the saints of God, are all a part of the body of Christ, which is the church of the living God. Thank God. I'm glad we are part of that body tonight. And so that's what he talks about there in that verse. But I want you to notice now, let's turn to Ephesians. Ephesians, the second chapter here. And let's look at this also. And the pearl we're talking about, one pearl that he's talking about. And then over in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through you all and in you all. Amen. Pretty good body, isn't it? He's in all of us. He's not just in one of us, and one of us is better than the other because we got more of God. He's in all of us. He's in all of us. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, well, let's back up one verse there. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace. That body has been given grace. God gives grace to the body. Amen. Paul proved that by living here in his life. God told him, my grace is sufficient for you. God gives grace to every saint of God. We couldn't buy that grace. We can't find it in the store. We can't get on Amazon and find grace. It's not there. God gives grace to all the body. Every one of us have got some of the grace of God within us. He gives grace. He gives two things here. He gives grace. Grace is given. He gives that to the body. And not only that, but he gives spiritual gifts to the body. Amen. He gives spiritual gifts to the body. Verse 11 said, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So he gives to the body, first of all, grace. And secondly, he gives spiritual gifts to the body. Spiritual gifts. We've all got gifts to do. Do something for God. Not a one of us can do the same thing that the other does. We've all got a part. We're all important. Everybody's important. First of all, he gave prophets, of course. Prophets, of course, are pre-church and the prophets of God. And then there's apostles. The early church, he gave to the early church apostles. Amen. There's none around today. There's no apostles today. God's not calling apostles out. I've never met an apostle. I've met some that thought they was. But I say to disappoint them, they're not apostles. They never seen Jesus. They weren't around him. I tell you, God made sure of that. And so the apostles had to be one that saw and heard the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, well, what about Paul? He was afterwards. Well, he heard him and saw him. God called him on the road to Damascus when he saved him. He saw the Lord Jesus. Amen. And he heard the charge. But if so, they got they're the church. He gives gifts to the church. Now, all of these are for purpose and for a reason. The Bible said here, there's apostles and there's prophets. And then he said, there's evangelists, you know. Evangelists, first of all, after the apostles, probably the first ones that was doing anything for God was the evangelist. I'd say all of the early preachers, even the apostles, they became evangelists in the church of the living God. What was they doing? They were starting churches. Preaching the gospel, starting churches. Go over here and start another church. Go start another church. That's what Paul was doing. And he gave evangelists, amen, and to help the pastors. He gave pastors, the Bible said. Pastors and teachers. Now, what were they for? They were for informing the church. Amen. Informing the church. The evangelists were given their gifts to form the church, to be used in forming the church and establishing churches that made up the one body of Christ. Get them saved by grace of God. Pastors and teachers was informing the church. That's why it's very important. The teaching is important in the church. The preaching is important in the church. I remember things in Sunday school, today that I was in Sunday school 70 years ago. And I cannot remember one message the pastor preached at that time. But I can remember some things my Sunday school teacher told me. That don't put down the importance of the pastor. He was good. But there was implanted in the hearts and minds of these little kids and little boys sitting there on the seat. And Brother Floyd Phillips, that was teaching it, taking the Bible. He'd stand up there and he'd cry. And then he'd teach the Word of God. He'd read it. And he'd give us advice and plead with us, boys. Don't go anywhere you ought not to go. Don't run with anybody you ought not to run with. And read us the Scriptures and teach us the Word of God. I remember those things. And so the pastors and teachers are used in informing the church, informing them of what God's saying. That's what the pastor's for. And that pastor is, of course, is for the perfecting of the saints. Five things. Why did God do that? Why did God do that? Look in verses 12. Why did he give apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for? Why did he give them in the church? There had to be some gospel preached. The Word of God has got to be preached. It's different in teaching and preaching. Jesus did both. He taught and he preached. Amen. And so look what he said here. Why did God do that? He said, for... Look in verse 12. He did that for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. The body, the pearl of great price. He gave the pastors for that. First of all, for the perfecting of the saints. That has to do with their maturity. Getting mature, getting full grown. Amen. Growing in the Lord, growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can't grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And somebody might be listening tonight and it ought to be in church, that could be in church, but yet they're just sitting there tonight listening. Right. But you see, they're given for the maturity, the perfecting of the saints of God. That's what I'm glad God did that. He gave them for the perfecting, for matureness. Maybe we might get full grown in living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we run around with a pacifier in our mouth.
Amen.
Amen. I ought to preach that message I preached in Alabama one time, but I brought my briefcase up here and had a whole lot of things in that briefcase. First of all, I had a pacifier. Amen. Then I had a bottle. Amen. And then for the big babies, I had a big bottle. Like you put them, you use them calves, you give a calf. I still got that stuff in my desk. I preached that a couple of times in Alabama. I don't know why. But anyway, the perfecting of the saints, that told their maturity for the work of the ministry. He gave them to the church for the work of the ministry. That's the shepherding part. The work of the ministry. Oh, the preacher, he just eats chicken and rides the roads. Yeah. Don't tell me that. Been there and done that. Amen. The shepherding part for the work of the ministry. That's why he gave them. That's why he gave them that preceding verses that we read, the shepherding part. And that is all done for the body. Why did he do that? For the body of Christ. For that one pearl of great price. And he thought enough of that pearl. He thinks enough of the church tonight to not only give his son to die for it, but he thought enough of the church tonight to give somebody to help us along the way and to get mature in the Lord, that we might be able to face the judgment seat of Christ and, brother, say, and hear that cry, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Instead of being slothful and wasteful in the work of the Lord, we can perfect ourselves and grow ourselves and mature ourselves by the grace of God. And every one of us has got enough grace to do it. We've got enough grace to do it. And he giveth more grace. Not only that is for the shepherding part of it, but he also gave all these things for the edifying of the body. Verse 12, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's encouraging the body. That's encouraging. Every once in a while, when we maybe deserve it sometime, we get a message of encouragement. Amen. Yeah. Encouragement. And boy, I like those encouraging messages. Praise God, I love to hear those things. I love to hear those things. I tell you, brother, when a man gets to preaching the Word of God, gets me on the edge of my seat, and maybe I won't go to sleep as I get older, but anyway, there's the encouraging of the Word of God encourages the saints of God. Remember one time our pastor, he got his message, and he read the Scriptures, and he said, I'm going to preach tonight on the Garden of God. I said, man. I'm a farm boy. I was raised on a farm. I thought, man, we're going to hear some good stuff tonight. I got on the edge of my seat. Preacher, he got to preaching. He got in that garden. And he got to plow in the tater patch. He got to naming some things. And, brother, I'm telling you, before he got through, I was sitting down in my seat looking about like this. Amen. Because I'd been guilty of some things. I've been critical of a brother. Amen. In the church. Amen. I mean, listen, and the preaching of the Word of God, and it's for encouragement, and it's also for shearing us. Amen. I had to go to a man in that church, one of my friends. Had to go to him, get him to go to the altar with me, got it right with him. Because I've been critical of him. Didn't mean to, but I tell you, I just had a moment of flesh. Amen. Amen. I felt better after that. Thank God. I was feeling good when he started preaching. Before he got through preaching, I felt like I had pneumonia. Something worse. Amen. But the encouragement of the saints of God. So the pastors and the teachers and the evangelists and the prophets, the apostles, they are there for the good of the church. For the pearl of... He bought the pearl of great price. He must do something to take care of it. Amen. I want you to know he takes care of his church. He takes care of his church. If we're part of that body of Christ, he takes care of every one of us. We've all got a story we could tell how God supplied and met the needs and took care of us in a time of crisis in our life. Every one of us. Amen. Have got us. I could tell you some stories tonight. God takes care of the body. Amen. Takes care of his church. Amen. And it's for edifying that body. So the pearl, listen, but the pearl is formed from a living thing. Am I right? The pearl is formed in an oyster from a living thing. It's formed. Now, I'm not going to go into all of that stuff there, but I'm going to tell you that Jesus Christ, brother, died for the church, gave himself for the church, and he's a living thing that formed the church. Amen. He's a living thing. Let me go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We're made nigh by the blood of Christ. We came from a living thing. Revelation chapter 1 verse 18. What did he say? I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen, he said. And have the keys of hell and of death. I tell you, we come from a living thing. Jesus is alive tonight. Amen. He's not dead. He did die, but he came back to life. He said, I got power to lay it down. I got power to take it up again. And he did. Did that very thing. And he did it so that the Father could buy that pearl and give it to him. Right. We're the pearl of great price. We're part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now ye who sometimes were strangers and foreigners, but we're fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. We're no more strangers. We're no more foreigners. We're no more alien from God. We're saved by the grace of God, and we are a part of the body of Christ. Amen. Doesn't it feel good to feel the unity of the blood of Jesus Christ? Yes. Just brings us all together in one mind and one accord. That's what makes up the church. Yes. Is the body of Christ. Oh, I know there's a few goats in the sheep. I know there always has been. Always will be. I've pastored goats and sheep, and every once in a while I think I've pastored a mountain lion. But there's all kinds, all kinds. But the body, every saved person is a part of that body. And it deals with us in love and directs us with compassion and helps us because he loves us. Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ loved the church. What does the rest of that verse say? And gave himself for it. He gave himself for it. Why? Because the Father gave him to pay for us. He bought us by his blood. We've been put in the body of Christ. Just a little Sunday school lesson tonight, but I appreciate the church, the living God. I'm glad to be a part of it. One day. Amen. One day, soon, we're all going to get together. Amen. Not one goat will be in heaven. Amen. The devil won't be there. And I don't say that disrespectfully, out of hatred, anything else. Brother, I love sinners. I want to see them saved by the grace of God. But they're not going there. They're not going there because they won't hear. They won't listen. The church is operating today because God put it in this world. Amen. That the world might see the church of the living God.